So the question this morning is, how many of you like change of season? Change of season. Now, there's a lot of different ways that we can interpret that. The first thing that you think of is weather, right? You think of weather. Change of seasons. We have our four seasons, and we certainly have four seasons here in Pennsylvania. Some of you, it doesn't matter what season you like, you're getting buggy. At the end of the season, you're ready for a change. And so you like change. I'm one of those ones that like change, although I could argue that I like the fall, and I could stay in fall all year round. And I enjoy that. But I think that probably the reason why we can maintain the way we do is because there is a change of season. But it's more than just thinking about the seasons that we have with weather. Isn't it true that there are different times in our lives that seasons change? I remember back when I was, even before I started school, there was a lot of freedom and playtime. You know, you wake up every day just ready to play. You know, you watch kids, they sleep and their life is revolved around what's right in front of them. And usually that's some sort of toy or the outside or, the trampoline out there, whatever they have. You know, it's the season that they live in. And sometimes I wish I could go back to that season. But the Lord knew that I needed something more. Can you imagine if I still went out every day and bounced on the trampoline? Some of you would be like, Pastor, what are you doing? And then you go to school and you start school, and that's a season of life that seems to go for a long time, right? It seems to never end. And some of you students that are out here, you're like, when is this season ever going to end? And to tell you the truth, although I don't wish to go back and do papers and study for tests, there's a part of me that wishes I could go back to that season and learn more. But there's certainly a season of school that you go through, and you get ready, and as some of you are there, you're ready for the end of that season. And the end of that season brings on another season of life, and you get out of school and it's time to begin to work full time, and you thought that the money making process was going to be great, and now you realize that that's all you do is work. And you work and work and work, and that season is probably the longest season of life because it doesn't end for a long time. But there's a season there that you work, and within that season there's all kinds of other little seasons, and there's a season of starting a family. I remember the season that Melissa and I, we were married, and it was a couple years before we had children, and that was a unique season in life. I worked and I got done with work, and we had all kinds of time to do all kinds of things, and we thought we were very, very busy. I remember back to when it was just her and I, and we were busy with so much. In fact, I remember thinking, boy, we need a break. And then Ezekiel came. It was no break. No, I'm just kidding. And then Shalissa came, and then Symphony, and Malachi, and Nehemiah, and we're still looking for that break. But it's a different season in life, isn't it? It's a different season, and things change. Some of you have changed the season of a job. You get into a job, and you go through life for a while, and there's a season, and then all of a sudden that season ends, and you begin another chapter, another season in life. Isn't it true that life is filled with seasons? Life is filled with all kinds of different seasons. This morning, what we want to look at is a new season. Now, we are endeavoring to remember back. Why? Why are we this year remembering back? We're remembering back so that we can be thankful, so that we can help other people. And so what we're doing is we're going back and we're looking at what God has done with and through his people to bring about what we have to look forward to in the future. Take your Bibles and go to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. And I want you to look at a new season that takes place. Last week we looked at the situation that God's people, 70 plus people, made their way from Canaan down into Egypt. And we remember last week, we almost wanted to, especially towards the end of the message, we wanted to take a big sign
on the way into Egypt and hold it up and say, be careful. Be careful, because although this place looks wonderful, although it has everything that you feel that you need, although that you're going to live in an easy situation, be careful. Be careful for this place, because you'll find yourself wishing to stay here. And that was Egypt. And honestly, Egypt was a place that God's people were able to go for a season and to get some relief and some help, to kind of get on their feet. But there would be a season of this, and there would be a time when this would come to an end. And we spend the first seven or so verses just talking about this very small season, which represents a couple hundred years of prosperity. Honestly, the life in Egypt for God's people was a breath of fresh air. It was an encouragement. They didn't have enemies at this time. They didn't have, you know, too many battles. They didn't have a lot. They had their needs supplied for. Any time in life that we are living comfortably, we enjoy it and appreciate it and thank the Lord for it. But we need to be careful with living in a life of comfort and ease. And we need to be looking for God to do something to take us to another level. Look at Exodus chapter 1, and we get to verse 8. So the first seven verses really are, you know, just the family that came into Egypt, and that into Egypt represented a lot of things that we've looked at in the last couple of weeks. But now they've been in Egypt, and we get to verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. The word now, the very first word of this verse, is a very helpful word when we look at this. Now, what does the word now represent in this verse? Now. We understand the word now to mean, you know, in present time. This is right now. At this time on the clock, this is what it's representing. But this is just there's more to the now with this word in this verse. What is implied with the word now? Go back. What's implied with the word now? A previous season, right? There was something that was going on, and we know what that situation was. We knew that there was famine in Canaan. We knew that there was shortage. We knew that there was oppression. We knew that God had set up deliverance. We knew that Joseph was in Egypt waiting for them to come. We knew a lot of things. We knew that these people were going to come up, and we have known that these people did partake for a couple hundred years of God's blessing in and protection there in Egypt. And the word now represents all that had happened, right? But the word now is more than just the now. It's more than what was just in the past. Now represents something that's going to come. It brings about a new season. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt. So what had changed from yesterday to now? What had changed from yesterday and would be something different tomorrow? Well, when you look at what's going on here, Joseph had passed. Joseph had died. Joseph represented God's blessing for Jacob's family. God used Joseph in an amazing way to bring about deliverance. God had used Joseph. Joseph had came. And while Joseph was on the scene, there was blessing. A lot of blessing. Joseph was a good thing for God's people. But Joseph is gone now. Isn't it a fact that things change? Things change. People that you know, things that you experience, we have a season of them, but as they last. Because when they're gone, it brings about change. You know, we have life, and there are times of life that we have health. We enjoy those times. We live in those times, but there are times that change with our health. We get sick. We get something and things change. Things began to change. Things changed with time. So Joseph died. He passed. He had been gone for 60 years, and now he had pretty much altogether been forgotten. Time had changed. A new national situation and circumstances had come about. God's people were growing by leaps and bounds from 70 to over 1 million people in this place. Situations and circumstances have changed. There's a new mindset towards these people. 70 people were not a threat. 1 million people are making us a little bit nervous. Pharaoh says, Egypt says, circumstances have changed. You know, isn't it interesting how circumstances in our life change? Things change all of the time. It's amazing how we can be so excited when circumstances are the way they are, and then we hear the news and everything changes. It brings on a new season. Time, circumstances. Certainly people, here we have a new leader. Another leader would bring about something different for God's people. You know, the previous Pharaoh had loved them. He had given them blessing. He had allowed Joseph to bless his family in any way that he had wanted, and they had everything that they wanted in Egypt. But a new leader brought something different. A new leader that didn't know Joseph. A new leader that didn't understand Joseph and where he had come from. A new leader that represented altogether something different in their lives. You know, people and leadership in our lives change things. Drastically change things. Time changes things. Circumstances change things. People change things. Issues in life. You know, there were new struggles with Egypt. It was at this point in time that the Hittites were invading or were planning to invade from the east and come into Egypt. And at this situation, it was that what made Pharaoh and the Egyptians nervous, because while God's people were situated in Goshen, kind of on the eastern side of where they were settling, they would be the first group of people that the Hittites would encounter. And that scared the Egyptians, because they thought, what if the Hittites come in and they find this neutral group of people? What if they choose sides with the Hittites? We are going to be in trouble. And so issues in life bring about things that are going to bring change. And all of a sudden, a new person, new circumstances, new time, new people, new issues are going to bring about a change. Everything needs to stop and something's got to change. We look at these circumstances and we say, too bad. Too bad that this had to change. I mean, honestly, God's people had some good things going for them. They were sitting in a good situation. This new king, he presented opposition in spirit. Look down in verse 9. We're in Exodus chapter 1. So now we know that there's a new king that didn't know Joseph. And we see opposition all of a sudden to God's people. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. And you can sense a change in his spirit, can't you? I mean, the spirit before, and I understand it's a new person. The spirit before was, hey, these people are good to have around. I can't help but imagine that even Egypt experienced some of God's blessing while his people were there. Because, by the way, everywhere God's people are, there's going to be an experienced blessing by the people around. It always is that way. There had to have been some sort of God's blessing on the area while God's people were around. By the way, that on a kind of a side note, we need to be careful of that and mindful of that where we are. We have potential of making a difference where we're at. You know, you might be that one in the workplace that is something different about you because you might have God, and that there's a difference there, a difference in that place. And we need to be pressing to make a difference and allow God to work through us to make a difference. But there's no doubt that there was a difference there, but that brought a different spirit to the leadership. You know, these people, there's some brewing trouble here, and his spirit changed. We see in verse 10, it wasn't just his spirit, but his trust. I mean, I think that there was some trust going on with these people. They weren't worried about them before, but all of a sudden now there's a mistrust. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them out of the land. His spirit changed and his trust changed. He doesn't any longer trust these people. There's no more trust. There's opposition taking place. And we look at this and we say, that's bad. I mean, honestly, it's not good when a bad spirit about God's people happens. Would you agree with me? I mean, is there a bad spirit in our world today towards God's people? There is. And it's being opposed more and more. People are living on the other side because they hate this side. They hate God's side. They hate right, and so they're going as far as they can on the other side. There is growing opposition to God's people and God's way. Can I take just a little sneak peek out of where we're at and get a little ahead of myself and say, but that's not bad necessarily. You see, the story that's being built up here seems bad. Another spirit against God's people. Mistrust of God's people. That's not good. Aren't you thankful that we have a good God that can work around difficult situations? Opposition with physical labor. I mean, look at verse 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. For Egypt, that was great. For God's people, that was tough. The taskmasters that we read throughout. In fact, the rest of chapter 1 talks a lot about this hard labor. I mean, is that something to cheer about for God's people? No, that sounds horrible. That sounds bad. But God is altogether good in all that he does. And he's preparing these people to get out of Egypt. Folks, it's good that God does things to get us out of the seasons that we get caught up in. Seasons of comfort, seasons of blessing, but seasons that bring about other things. Folks, can I tell you, when we get used to our seasons, we're not thinking about trusting God anymore. We're not thinking about needing and pleading with God. We're not so needful of prayer, and we're not so needful to go to his word. Why? Because we have everything that we need. But God knows better. And sometimes he brings about things in our lives, maybe even oppression, difficult times, so that we get to the point to where we understand that we need a different season, another season. Life altogether really quickly gets difficult for these people. And we could go to verse 16 and begin to read. It's a tough life. A tough life. I mean, now life is in jeopardy. Pharaoh gets the midwives and he says, listen, you midwives, you need to go and you need to destroy all the newborn boys and get rid of them. And of course, the midwives had some different thoughts to that and they didn't do it. And Pharaoh says, what are you thinking? Why don't you do this? And then, you know, he further oppresses more. Everything now in the Jewish people's lives has changed. A new season has taken place within, again, I don't know how long it took for this transition to happen, but it was a slow process. But all of a sudden, we find that these Hebrew people find themselves in a brand new season, and it doesn't appear to be a good season. A lot has changed. But the question is why did God allow change? The question for us is, why does God allow change? Now, I want you to think with me just for a moment and try not to be so super spiritual in your thinking right now. Because you all know the answers to this. Well, we know that God brings about change for our good. But now let's get to our practical Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Think about your life. We don't like change when things, especially bad change. Things get disrupted. You know, you get your test back from the doctor. It wasn't good news. You found out, I mean, you've paid a lot of money for your, you know, HVAC system at home, and now all of a sudden it's shot. And the money that you saved up for your fancy whatever, you've got to pour into this new system. I've always struggled with that when I saved up money. And then all of a sudden, I got to pay for something just to get it back. You know what I'm talking about? I don't get anything new, really. I got to pay for something that I had yesterday. And I've got to spend thousands of dollars getting something just to be back to where I was yesterday. I don't advance anywhere. You know what I'm talking about? And those are the times that we look, and these are a new season that we say, bad, bad, bad. I had a bad week this week because I had to do this, or this new change came about. We look at our situations in life that change, and we were very comfortable with going to work, the workplace that we had, and now they've transferred me to a new place. And it's horrible. The people are grumpy. The boss is mean. He doesn't understand what good work is, and things change. And I could go on in all kinds of different circumstances and scenarios that take us into everyday life of change that we struggle with. What has changed recently in your life that you don't like? What has been disrupted in your life that was going so well, so smooth? Things that you enjoyed just like God's people in Egypt. I mean, honestly, you go back to yesterday and these people were doing well. I mean, multiplying. They had everything at their fingertips. It would seem like this was God's promised land. And this is really what, in a very short time, I want to look at this morning before we're dismissed. Why did God allow change with these people? Go ahead and think about that. Why did God change? Why does God allow change in our lives? Wouldn't it be better if we could just stay where we were at? You say, Pastor, things were going so well with our family before this. Life really was at its fullest before the change. Why did we have to change? You've been to a medical facility when people have been hooked up to, what is it that they hook you up to, that they monitor your heart, or they're monitoring other things, and you've all looked up at the screen, and when a person has that life, we see the graph going like this, right? You know what I'm talking about, you know, and this is good, right? You see, what happens in life when things are going well, this is what tends to happen. You know, there's good life. But as we go, an even keel begins to happen. And you know that in life, if if I could say it, it's a little bit of a play on words, but we know that in life, when things begin to be like this, what does it mean? It means something needs to change, right? If I am in the emergency room there or in the hospital there, and I'm with a patient, with somebody there, and I'm watching the numbers or the graph go up and down, I'm feeling good. When I start seeing the graph go like this, all of a sudden I'm getting a little bit nervous. Doctor, what's going on? I don't like that right there. My friends, can I tell you something? There's a reason why God brings change in our lives. Because there's a tendency in life for us to get very used to life that is dangerously bringing death. And God in His love loves you enough to disrupt things enough so that life is returned. God's people were getting very comfortable with Egypt. And God had bigger plans for His people. God had better plans for His people than Egypt. God had so much more for these people to experience other than Egypt that just provided everything that they needed. God had something very special. Can I say before you this morning that without change, we wouldn't know God's better plan? Did God have something better for His people than Egypt? Did He? It's kind of painful to say that, isn't it? Because you know what's coming next. Does God have something better for you than what you're going through now? I'm talking about for those of you that are kind of on a smooth sailing. And yet, what's our attitude when these things come? What's our attitude when all of a sudden bumps in the road? We don't like bumps in the road, do we? We struggle. Come on, calm down. When I'm flying on an airplane, I don't like bumps. I love it when I can't feel anything. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're doing all this, and you're like, boy, is this guy out of control? What's going on? And oh, you know, pilot gets on there. He's like, I just assure you, everything's okay. It's just a little bit of wind, a little bit of turbulence. I've had a few times like that scared the living daylights out of me. You know, bumps in the wind out there, they scare you. But you know what, my friend? Can I tell you, we get bumps in the road. Our tendency is to fear. Our tendency is to struggle. Our tendency is to get frustrated. Our tendency is to feel like everything is out of control and we're going to die. And God is just restoring life and bringing us to a better place. God had better plans for Egypt than Egypt for His people. God has bigger and better plans for you. And usually a change with God's bigger and better plans entail a season of tough times for growth. Quickly go to James chapter 1. You know this passage. You could quote it with me. James 1, 2 to 4. We love the passage and yet we hate it at the same time. We love the truth of it, but yet we say, but Lord, let it for someone else. You know what I'm talking about when I say that? Trials. When we're in it, it's wonderful. When we're not in it, we want to avoid it. My brethren, count it all joy. That's tough. Count it all joy when you fall.
That word fall there, that's the change. That's the new season.
Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And boy, they get diverse, don't they? When it rains, it pours. It's not just the physical, it's the financial. It's not just the financial, it's the emotional. It's not just the emotional, it's the physical, it's the work, it's everything. When it rains, it pours. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this. That's a faith phrase there, because it's not something that you can see or touch, but it's something that you've just got to trust. Knowing this. Listen, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God is allowing the bumps in the road to get you back up and to move you forward, to get you going again. Worketh patience. But let patience, that phrase right there, letting patience, that's allowing God. That's not resisting God. That's not fighting God. That's not questioning God. That's letting God do His work. Because why? I trust Him. I trust Him. That's living with no shore. That's living with no light. That's living with no hope. But there's Jesus at the back of the boat. And He's all we have. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. You remember the story when Abraham and Isaac were heading to Mount Moriah. They didn't know where they were going, and they didn't know necessarily when they would return, but they knew they would return. You know that when the disciples in the book of Mark were with Jesus and they launched out to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, they cut across the top corner of the Sea of Galilee and they were way to the other side. There were several little ships that were about and they were on their way and the storm came about. Jesus went with them and He said, "We are going to the other side." Can I tell you something? There is another side that you'll get to. God does not let us drown in the middle. It's time to trust that. But there's life through the storm. And it's in the person of Jesus Christ.
But let patience have her perfect work. Just let it go and keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus, like we sang about. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know what that is? That's not perfection. That's not even heaven.
It's spiritual growth. It's spiritual growth, walking closer to Jesus. Because when we're in Egypt, we're not close to Jesus. God has better plans for you. Have you ever noticed that the times when the winds and the waves and the bumps of life happen, there's an automatic reaction that God brings about. Now, we can resist it, we can fight it. That is magnetized so that we're pulled into Jesus. And I'll tell you, it's not the times of prosperity and lackadaisical living. Is the time of bumps that the magnet turns on and we're pulled closer to our Lord. Why? Because we have to. or we sink. And so God does a work in our lives to disrupt things because he knows that that's usually the only thing that will bring us closer to him.
That we would be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Again, that's not perfection. That's just walking with Jesus. That we would spiritually mature. That we would get above this plane and get to the next. Many of us want to draw closer to the Lord. You know, January 1st of 2024, we make New Year's resolutions. God, I hope that this year I draw closer to you. But do you know when you're praying that what you're asking? Because Jesus doesn't pull us closer on the plains of Egypt. He pulls us closer. Through all kinds of bumps on our way to Canaan. And that's where we're heading in the next few months. On our way to Canaan. Discovering what God has for us. Solomon had much wisdom. I've been reading about Solomon in 1 Kings. He had much wisdom that God gave him when he asked for wisdom. God gave him much wisdom. Solomon wasn't so wise. God gave him wisdom. It was God's wisdom. Solomon writes for us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. And we don't have time this morning to go there, but to everything there is a season. And if I want to encourage you, I'll give you a little assignment. You read that passage. You'll understand why there's a season. And I'll tell you, very simply put, the season is to bring us closer to him. And it's time that we thank God for seasons. It is God's good plan to get these Hebrew people ready for what he has next. And it is God's good plan that he wants to bring you to what he has for you next. Well, that's exciting. That's exciting. We don't have to stay here. We get to move forward. God's answering our prayer. As we close this morning, three things that I want you to walk away with. Number one, God has a perfect plan for you, and that plan is Christ-likeness. God has a perfect plan for you, and it's Christ-likeness. And we can be thankful that that's his plan. He wants to pull us in. We need to leave here this morning thanking God that he wants to pull us in, and God will do what it takes to pull us in. He will not let us on the plains of Egypt. Praise the Lord, he has Canaan. He has something better. He has crossing the Jordan. Number two, God brings and tests us. He gives us trials. He lets them come into our lives to bring about this plan. God has a perfect plan for you, and he brings about things in your life so that you can fulfill that plan, so that you can go there. And we must look, don't lose this, we must look back at what God did for the Hebrews and understand and expect that God is doing the same for you, for us. We have an interesting perspective
on Exodus chapter 1. Why? Because we look back. We see the end. Isn't it so much easier to be able to look back and see? But listen here, don't lose it. God has given us a sight into the future with looking back. God doesn't have any different plan for you that he didn't have for those Hebrews. God's got another side. God's got blessing. God's got wonderful things awaiting for you. But there's got to be some difficulties and trials to get us there. But we know that they got there. And I'll tell you, this was the first of many, many trials. But waiting for them on the other side of Jordan was life of blessing. And by the way, life of blessing isn't always life of ease. But it was blessing. And so for you this morning, we look back. We look back at what God did for these people, and let it be something as we walk out today, say, God, I see it now. You've got things going on for me in my life, for my family's life, for this church's life, for our country. You've got things going on because you're trying to pull us to another place. And I'll tell you, that perspective will be absolutely necessary as we go through these trials. God help us. God help us to remember the works of old, to meditate upon them, to be thankful for them. And who will we be able to help in the future go through their problems and trials? Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for seasons. Lord, seasons are good. Seasons help us not to get too comfortable. Seasons bring us to new places. Seasons bring about new life. Seasons are altogether good. They're tough, but they're good. God, thank you for the seasons in our life. God, help us, we pray this morning. God, would you let this sink into our lives? God, may we be thankful. Would we let you have your way? So that we can walk with you in a fuller, greater way in our lives. God, thank you. Thank you. Lord, we need to trust you. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.